Today's conversation on the Data for Good podcast was with Max Yenders of LunaX. He is the data leader there, previously of a bigger business named Get Your Guide. And I mentioned that because today's topic was around owning your data with respect to platforms that you use, those social media platforms. And Max made some big comparisons about the pros and cons of owning your own platform and not owning and subscribing to other media platforms. And we talked about the customer journey. We talked about understanding your customer, and we talked about gaining full or more access to customer data. An interesting commercial and data focused topic. So enjoy today's podcast. Your extensive commercial platform experience as a data leader, what's the biggest area of concern for you in terms of a company's data ownership?
I would say that it's about how much data you have and that it is actionable, that you can do things with it, because that's, for me, the core of a data team.
Fantastic. So today we're going to talk about owning your data as a data team within any commercial organization. So I want to talk about the platform pros and cons today. So at a really high level, to start us off, what do you consider to be the advantages and disadvantages of owning your own platform?
Good question. I think the level of control is a pro, mostly. So if I am completely in charge of all my platform, all the data I create, it means I understand everything about it. I understand the semantics about it. I exactly know how it's being created. If there's something I still want to measure, I can add more events about it. If I don't have them yet. And yeah, you get lots of customer signals usually.
Okay. Put that in context for me, because several different platforms like Spotify, YouTube, Google all work a little bit differently and all monopolize the market differently. Could you perhaps choose one of them and put it in context for me?
Sure. So for example, your YouTube. So you want to have a platform where a lot of people enjoy watching your videos. And you have content creators that upload these videos that then viewers will interact with. So now if you're interested in what kind of browsers are a differentiator in the types of users on your platform, or what makes a user click a second video and the third one, what keeps a user interested, and actually what makes a user then at some point switch off, you will be collecting a lot of data about that, right? And as you're in a team that might work on recommendations or the search ranking or query understanding, you become an expert in that field. And if you figure out that there might be some signals missing, you can always decide to add them. You just track more data then if you aren't tracking it already. And then you can improve your service, your platform even more.
Okay. So lots of data and control over the data that you gather and how you use it. Okay. How about if you don't own the platform? What are, I mean, the drawbacks seem obvious, but could you outline those drawbacks for me? But also the flip side.
Yeah,
because
sure.
Companies go in both directions.
I think if you own your own platform, you're responsible for the whole data quality and data availability. And that can be a huge headache. I had experience in, for example, some teams generating events about how customers interact with recommendations. And if I'm in a team that produces recommendations, these are shown by another team. And so if that second team does changes, somehow they inadvertently might break events that track how these recommendations perform without them noticing. So I need to set up a lot of monitoring about that. I can only track something if I start measure it, if I have events about it. So I can't just go back in time and make things up. And it can be hard to keep teams aligned to have the exact same semantics in a way. If you think again about YouTube, there's a lot of different ways you can watch YouTube videos. There will be a lot of different teams working on parts of the website. How do you make sure that events are uniform, that they all have the same semantic if it's about a user interaction? That's the flip side. If I use a platform, I often have a very standardized API that I can use to just pull data from. That means if I'm especially a young startup, I suddenly have this wealth of data that I would not be able to get. For example, Lunar is close to 3 years old, and we use YouTube a lot, and YouTube gives us a lot of data about how videos are performing, a geography, demographic breakdowns. We wouldn't be able to get all of that with a data team our size, right? Because you need to implement all of that.
Interesting. I see a clear advantage there. It gives you much more capability. But what if, I believe you've mentioned it, what if policies change at YouTube or Google and all of a sudden you can't track the same data that you've been using to build a business, essentially?
I think mostly how I would frame it is more of a, you are exposed to some external regulations that might not even affect your own business, but affects the platform. For example, GDPR. It's great that we don't need to care about the legalities of privacy because YouTube does that, right? We don't need to hire a lawyer for all of that. We just produce videos. That's great. And still, if there's new legislation about that, YouTube will react. Or in another way, maybe YouTube has been pushing shorts more. So this will affect us. And that's okay in a way. This is how markets also change. Even if you own your platform, markets can change and you need to react. It's just that you need to be aware of it and monitor these trends closely.
Interesting. So stay on top of it, monitor the trends, recognize the increased capability. You don't need to be concerned about legality and changing regulations as they often do and as they often should be across Europe. You mentioned Lunar X, 3 years old, and I wonder, is there a scale of business that suits owning their own data platform and not owning their own data platform? And again, it kind of strikes me as a potentially obvious answer given the capability topic, but can you spell that out for me?
So you mean in terms of, is there a perfect size as a company?
Yeah, sorry. Let me make that more simple a question. The scale of company or the scale that your company is at, is there should there be a preference for owning the platform that you work on and not owning the platform that you work on at various scales?
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm not sure I made that any easier, but yeah.
No. So in my mind, at our stage, we very much love to use other platforms. For example, we are partnered with a bunch of high-performing, well-performing YouTube channels, and we can easily interact with them because we have this standardized ecosystem. And we are also having a merchandise line that we've launched some months ago. And we can use another platform, Shopify, to sell these things. And that means we don't need to hire a team to build an e-commerce website. That will take a year, right? to sell all of these things. We can just take it off the shelf and try it out. And especially as a younger company that still is experimenting a lot with revenue streams, with new ways to reach fans and viewers, it means we can experiment a lot faster.
Interesting. How about ownership of the customer or ownership of that data, even though it's not on a platform that you own?
In an ideal world, we would be getting more data about individual customers. I think with most platforms, you get a lot of aggregated data, and it's different between platforms, but often platforms also give you some pretty good analytical tools about it. For example, YouTube gives you data broken down by video level and day, and then you see how many viewers are there. And even you can have further breakdowns by geography, by country, for example. But one thing I cannot answer is how many viewers have watched two of our videos, because this would be broken down on a customer level and YouTube doesn't give it to us, which makes sense because you get all the privacy implications with it.
Yes. Right?
And so ideally, we would be getting more out of it if we had the data. But we also have already such a wealth of data, and we can do some very interesting analytics and derive insights from the existing data that I feel especially at our stage, a lot of it is enough.
Okay. Can you, from a kind of generic standpoint, in case there are other startups at your size and scale, can you kind of give me a checklist of those things that you can do with the data that are helpful?
I think, for example, at the beginning, you want basic reporting, right? You want to see our trends. You want to see on a daily, weekly, monthly level, how are we tracking? So that in the YouTube world, that would be views, that would be subscribers, that would be the ad revenue. And then as you experiment, as you grow, you probably also want to understand your customer base better. So I am creating videos, and one of our channels is about economical topics. And so we also there often highlight a specific country. So then it's interesting to find out actually where are the viewers now coming from for this video versus that video, and what are the implications there? Where can we maybe find a viewership base that is very interested in our topics? So I think a lot of this has to do with just trying to understand your customer base, trying to understand how you're performing, what are the important metrics, and then tracking them. And it's still a bunch of work to access all the data. So YouTube gives you a bunch of data, but you also need to download it, process it, put it into dashboards or reports or warnings, automations, all of that. So you do need a data team for that. It's just you don't need a huge team to actually already get some great insights.
Other than for commercial gain, platforms like YouTube and Google might hide some of the data behind a payment gate wall, and that's understandable. You know, there's an opportunity for them to make more money. Does that exist to begin with?
To my knowledge, not. And I think actually this would be a great option. So companies at our size, like, we are happy with a lot of the data we get, but if we grow a lot more in 5 years, hopefully we've partnered with a lot more creators, we've grown the brand a lot more, so we might want more data. And if there would be a premium option where we get more targeted data after some vetting, I think we would be happy to pay for that. I think that most of these platforms just give you a very standardized API, and only if you're a very big player, like in the music space, I assume the big labels, they get more data than we do. And that this would be actually very helpful for us as a company that helps creators.
Are there any other ways other than through the platform that you can get full access to the data?
I wouldn't know how. So no. The biggest part of our business is YouTube. So viewers are on YouTube. We can ask them to fill in a survey at the end. And sometimes we did that to understand them a bit better as kind of, in a way, a user study. On Spotify, the same. We have music there, or we also use Apple Music, Deezer, different platforms, right? But in the end, you're limited to the reports that you receive, and you cannot track your viewers, your fans, your listeners, whatever you want to call them, on these platforms well, because again, of all the privacy implications.
Yes, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so you can understand the customer to a large extent, to an extent where you can better sell to their needs. How are you able to build a stronger customer relationship with or without owning your data platform? Sorry, your platform. Yeah.
So again, the kind of downside is that I can't identify individual customers, and still I can look at trends, right? So every creator should try to find their niche. You are targeting data professionals and you found that niche. So you will be hopefully creating more content around that and not suddenly pivoting into what are the best maybe front-end stacks. So it's really about finding out, why do people like your videos? What are these kinds of people? And by varying a little bit also with the content you upload, you can find that out. What performs well? You can read through the comments. We can use text analysis tools, text mining, to also summarize a lot of sentiment in the comments.
It sounds so logical. You can, by doing A/B testing and various different researches, figure out trends and adapt your offering to those customers. How about when Lunar X, for example, gets bigger? Would the plan be to own your own platform? And what will then be the implications of that?
It's just purely speaking from a data perspective, right? I think at some point it would be amazing to own your platform because you have more control. On the other hand, it really only makes sense if you're a very large player because you have all the infrastructure cost behind it and also the lock-in, right? YouTube works because a lot of people are on YouTube, and that's why we upload there and not on some other websites typically. So you have all these networking effects, that's the word. So in a way, you are tying yourself to the platform, which means if the platform has issues, you might also get more issues. But YouTube is growing a lot. So if YouTube expands their user base, their viewer base a lot, that's good news for us because there's more potential people coming to maybe watch our videos. Yeah. And I think it's very hard in the media space to establish a new platform because it's very hard to connect with people around the world to deliver content there, to get people to switch to your own website, your own platform. So I think, especially in the media space, this is just the way it is. There's a reason why you have these big distributors, because it's a hard problem. It requires a lot of investment. And so I don't expect us to suddenly in 10 years launch our own YouTube competitor.
But how would TikTok have done it? Because to me, it seems that TikTok came from nowhere and they knew exactly what to produce and how to target their audience.
That's interesting. I feel that they picked up the idea, I think it was first on Instagram, right? These reels. YouTube was focused on these longer formats. On I have a half hour, 1 hour video, and suddenly came TikTok, and also with a great algorithm for recommendations, they managed to create this content creator economy where it's about very short videos, 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds, and that's it. And YouTube is playing catch up, I think. And they're very much focused on shorts to also keep younger viewers interested in their platform, to then also get them to watch long form content. And I wouldn't be surprised if TikTok pivots also into long form content at some point, right? To have both.
So that pivot is your kind of vision of the future, a logical future.
Let me maybe phrase it a little differently. In my mind, I'm very happy to be, in a way, like, tied to platforms, to use them. I think it's great if there's not one platform that dominates. Because if a platform dominates, it can also dictate terms a lot. And I think in some ways, the EU is cracking down on a few things here and there. For example, with also Apple, with the App Store, with the fees they charge. And some healthy competition, I think, is great. And if you have that, and then you can try out multiple platforms, as we do for music. And Spotify still is a big player there, the biggest player. I still hope that over time, maybe the other platforms will gain market share to be more relevant.
Like SoundCloud or SoundCloud, Tidal.
I'm thinking more of what we use. Is we also use YouTube Music, or you have Deezer, Apple Music, for example. So there's a bunch of players out there. They're just not the largest. If they become larger, there's a lot more competition. And I think that also then affects the kind of data the platform offers you, right? If one platform gives you a lot better data, a lot better analytics, you can grow your user base there faster. So that's also an impact if you have healthy competition.
And it strikes me that with, like, in all areas, competition creates innovation.
Yeah.
So, more in the market pushes these big players to get more innovative and perhaps try different things around data, how they're gathering, what they're gathering, and what might be useful to the smaller players in the market. Okay. How do you see the market going? You think competition's good?
Yes. I feel like we had a lot of huge platforms that have survived over even decades now. You have Google, who's still dominating the ad market, right? Mm-hmm. You have Facebook, which, at least in my friend circle, isn't being used much anymore. Still, they have quite a high number of monthly active users. Still, they also are a good source for example, for the ad market.
They've got tons of legacy data, right?
Yes.
More than any of those big social media players, right? They're the...
A lot of targeting, yes. And they know you in a way. And you have these... TikTok came very suddenly and became huge, right? Spotify is, I assume, still on its way up. You have, if you think about streaming, Netflix got huge, and now there's a lot more competition, and they are also all struggling a bit and raising prices. So let's see where that ends up. So I think... You often have a big player. If a big player dominates, it's hard to challenge them, I think, because you have all these huge infrastructure investments to build up your network, to get the critical mass of people to watch you. If we get competition right, there might be also some bit more changes in who's dominant, because, again, we get more innovation. And if the cost of switching to a different platform isn't too high for the customer, they will do it if the incentives are there.
Do you see? Okay, well, thanks for that insight and your take on this industry, with you being so close to the media industry, working at LunarX. From a data perspective, how do you see the market changing or evolving?
I think we will always have large platforms. And as large platforms establish themselves, I think there's a lot of space for third-party companies that offer tools for that platform. For example, one of the benefits that LunarX offers to pair with creators is that we have a dedicated data team, right? If you are a channel that's super successful, gets tens of millions of views, you probably still can't afford a data analyst. But if you, because we are partnered with a bunch of channels, we have this economies of scale and we can afford that. And you can also have things like that as really sold solutions in a way. So I think YouTube has already has a huge ecosystem of third-party analytics, of tracking tools to help you understand how are trends going, what are audiences interested in. And I think as YouTube continues to evolve, as other platforms grow, there will be also a huge market for data teams that make sense of these and then sell them on, make them available to creators or other customers in a way. For me, it's similar with, if I can give an analogy, I mentioned Shopify, right? Shopify makes it super easy to launch your own merch store. You also had AWS was a revolution in the sense of you can just scale your computing easily. And if you're a very large company, you probably want to go on-prem because it tends to get expensive in the cloud. But for starting things, that's amazing. And I think let me phrase it differently. I don't think we have yet seen the end of or the scale of what we can offer around these large platforms that will also make it an easier entry for other companies into the system, into the ecosphere.
Interesting. Very interesting. And Max, we have sadly come towards the end of our podcast. As you know, this podcast is for predominantly Berlin-based data professionals. I wonder what piece of parting advice you can give to data folks who are interested in this area and primarily about providing their business with more customer data. Mm-hmm. Maybe some advice or tips for them to get better at that.
Maybe allow me to contrast this a little bit with my experience at Get Your Guide, because we were the platform. I had a lot of super interesting challenges that come to like with advanced machine learning, tracking customers, improving the journey of a single customer because we have the data. At Lunar, again, we have aggregated data, which is a lot of data. We can do a lot of things. And so one thing there I enjoy is finding creative solutions. What can you still get as an insight from all the data that you get from this wealth of data that nobody can really understand just if you look at it because it's millions of rows. So it goes into the, how can I make the data that I have actionable? How does that affect my business? And sometimes it's harder to really track the commercial impact. So if I tell you, hey, this is a trend, maybe you make a video about that content, the topic, and you do it and the video is a hit, how much of that is my part, or was it just a great video? So it's also about having a close relationship with people that use your insights, right? And it's sometimes a bit harder to track the impact, and you need to understand a lot more the end users, how they work, what they need, and then you can also build a lot of interesting products around that.
So how can data professionals do that then? Would that be about forging close relationships with internal stakeholders of your organization, perhaps sales and marketing people?
Absolutely. I've always been a fan of understanding your stakeholders. I think as a data team, you are often a support function. You enable other people to do their job better. And nobody just...
We don't like that, do we?
Being the support function. No executive will say, I'm happy to pay for a large data team just so we have data, right? It's about helping the business succeed. And often you can do that by having clean data, by giving you insights, by giving you reports, by telling you what to do, by telling you, hey, this market is actually tanking a bit, shift your focus somewhere else. And that's interesting. And for that, you need to understand the business context and how your work affects stakeholders, how your work affects other people. And to me, that's an interesting challenge.
Totally. And I hope it's not disconnected, but in terms of understanding those internal stakeholders, you learn to understand your customers, because those stakeholders are also serving those customers. And what I'm always told about data folks is that it's all about the customer. You know, it's not about building a data team, like you say, for the sake of building a data team. It's about doing it where we can serve the customer and therefore build our business. Thanks so much for your insights, Max. And I'll look forward to next time when we'll go into another very similar topic.